Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Heidi Moore from The Guardian, in for Charlie Herman. And I'm joined today by regular contributors Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Farouhar of Time Magazine. And this week we're going to talk about CVS. The drugstore chain made big news this week by saying it's going to stop selling cigarettes and all tobacco products by October. The move doesn't come completely out of the blue. CVS has been transitioning away from retail for some time. It's been opening in-store health clinics and driving people to ask its pharmacists for advice. Joe and Rana, I want to ask you, is this just a PR ploy or is there something more going on here?
Well, certainly it is a PR ploy of the best kind. It makes them look good. You know, cigarettes are demonstrably a bad product, but it's not really going to hurt their bottom line all that much.
And actually, they've been expanding recently in terms of the retail health clinic business, which is where they really see the growth. There's going to be a lot of business in flu shots and walk-in sort of clinic treatments, quick and easy health care. That's going to be a big part of the rollout of Obamacare. And so if you look at it as a business decision in terms of where the growth is, it's certainly in that area. But as Joe says, it has this wonderful added benefit of making them look incredibly benevolent.
So are we going to see other drugstore chains like Walgreens and Rite Aid follow suit, do you think?
I think we may well. There's been a lot of talk about whether Walgreens is going to follow suit. And what's interesting about Walgreens is they don't have the healthcare component that CVS does. So they don't have something to back up or to replace that revenue. Now, there's another interesting aspect about Walgreens, which is that unlike CVS, Walgreens currently carries and sells electronic cigarettes. And so a lot of people in the cigarette business are wondering when and if Walgreens takes out cigarettes, will they keep electronic cigarettes so that smokers will have an alternative, which is, in truth, a healthier alternative? And, you know, from what I'm hearing, I think they will.
Rana, what do you think that means for the tobacco companies?
Well, I think not much, because people who want cigarettes are going to buy them somewhere. Now, who's going to carry them? In New York, I think it's going to be great for bodegas, you know? And in that sense, you could argue that it's a good stimulus for small and mid-sized businesses.
So shifting gears to another story that has the business world abuzz, Twitter released its first earnings report as a public company this week. And the results, I guess we could call lackluster. So, Rana, you're on Twitter, and you're also someone who keeps an eye on what the big tech firms are up to. What's your take on where the company's at a few months after its IPO?
Well, you know, the business strategy of most Silicon Valley tech firms has been to go out and get as many users as possible at whatever cost, you know, grab market share and figure out how to make money from them later. And I think that as these tech firms get older, that that strategy is starting to bump up against its limits. So really, you need to start to, as they say, monetize these users. And I think that Twitter actually can do that. I mean, its user base has fallen off, but in terms of the revenue that they generate per user, they do better than companies like Facebook. In terms of a consumer's take on Twitter, I'm a somewhat reluctant Twitter user, I have to say. I am in the media and feel compelled to do it, and I sometimes find it useful, but I used to find it more useful as a news aggregator when there was less on it. I feel like there's a lot of noise right now. There's a lot to weed out, and that means that eventually people are going to start going to other types of social media companies, and that's exactly what happened with Facebook as well.
And what really hurt Twitter in this very first announcement of their quarterly earnings was the fact that the rate of growth of subscribers or users has slowed almost in half. And that is really not a good sign for a tech company that's trying to become, a la Facebook, something that's ubiquitous and is everywhere and everybody uses. And they also run into the problem of the more people use it, the more that's there, the more clutter there is, and the less useful it actually becomes.
Yeah, I'm a big Twitter user. I use it a lot, and I use it for news. And I found the same thing that you have, Rana, that there's an enormous amount of noise that's just kind of entered the stream that might be affecting engagement. It might be why Joe isn't on Twitter.
Lucky him.
But we'll get to that in a minute as well. But the other thing that I think Twitter forgets is that there are rivals to what it wants to do right now. LinkedIn, for instance, wants to be a big news aggregator for various industries. And of course, if you're in media, media, you know that Facebook drives a lot more traffic than Twitter does. So, Joe, I wanted to ask you as an objective observer, as somebody who's not using Twitter, you've avoided the hashtags and the at replies so far. What do you think Twitter needs to do to impress Wall Street and entice those advertisers?
Well, what it needs to do to impress Wall Street is entice those advertisers. I mean, it's really pretty simple. That's what Wall Street cares about. They want to see profits. They want to see growth. You know, enticing the advertisers is a trickier proposition. Everybody is going after the same group of advertisers or advertisers in general. And, you know, I think if you're an advertiser, you're feeling pretty stretched, pretty thin, and you want to see a service that, you know, one of the problems Twitter has is you look at it for a minute and then you go somewhere else, and it's somewhat complicated to use. And Facebook will grab you and hold you for half an hour or an hour, or many people for more, because it becomes really their homepage. And so the idea of 140 characters being able to hold you long enough to see an ad, you know, that may turn out to be problematic.
Finally, let's look ahead to next week and the stories that you're watching. Rana?
So I was very interested in the recent announcement by Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam, a Republican, that he wants his state to begin offering 2 years of free post-secondary education. So community college, technical college. Basically, he wants every student in the state of Tennessee to not have to stop with a high school degree, which basically at this point only guarantees you a $15 an hour future, but to have that post-secondary training. This echoes a lot of what I'm hearing from business, and it's also a big policy issue. You heard the president talk about it for the second year running in his State of the Union speech. I'm hearing a lot more businesses get interested in this because they see this as a way to fix both their labor shortage issues and the skills gap, but also to create a more robust middle class that can eventually spend on their products.
And Joe?
I was surprised to read recently that there are a handful of hedge funds that are betting there's going to be a shortage of natural gas in the United States this winter. And on the one hand, this would seem extremely surprising given that we're having a huge fracking boom. Natural gas is up. Discoveries are up something like 25% over the last 5 or 6 years. But on the other hand, it's been extremely cold. And more than that, even as the supply of natural gas has increased, so has the demand as coal-fired power plants have transitioned to natural gas, as more and more people have transitioned to natural gas, which has been a very inexpensive fuel. So I'm watching to see whether we wind up short natural gas.
We'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Heidi Moore. This is Money Talking from WNYC.